Let's change up. We're going to talk some NBA. We're joined right now by a national NBA writer for The Washington Post, co-host of the Open Floor podcast. He is, in fact, a jungle legend. Fact. Ben Golliver joins me right now. My man, Ben, what's going on? How are you?
I'm good, Jim. I'm glad you said we're going to change it up, because I thought you were about to put me on the spot and give, like, my top 10 names for who the bigger names could be, you know?
I'm not doing that, Ben. I'm not doing that. I mean, if you're a clone and you want to do that, I can't stop you, but I would not ask you that. That would not be responsible. You know, I'm not like that.
Yeah, it's a good way to get fired.
Yeah, right? Thank you very much, Ben. Thank you for understanding, Ben. Welcome to my freaking life, Ben. All right, so you cover the NBA. Let me start right here. It is a good way to get fired. Now, you cover the NBA, but you were in Durham on Wednesday night for UNC Duke. First off, what was the atmosphere like in Cameron Indoor before the game?
It's a religious experience. You know, it was my first trip there. It felt like a pilgrimage. The kids were crazy. I talked to this one girl. She said she'd been camping out since January 12th. And, you know, it's just like, okay, you're sleeping in a tent for a month to watch this game. I felt terrible for the students because Zion goes down early. Obviously, I feel terrible for Zion, too. But that atmosphere is unlike anything I've been. The only thing I can compare it to is like a World Cup soccer game. They were really, really turned up, not only for that rivalry game because it was the first Duke-Carolina game this season, but also for Obama. I mean, this guy, the love that he got from the student section and from everybody in the building was incredible. He's getting standing ovation as soon as he walked in, you know, 45 minutes before the tip. It was just a special night, special place to be, and it was just such a shame that, you know, Zion had to go down in the first, you know, 30 seconds.
You know, you're right. You set that up perfectly. So what was that like when he goes down in the first 30 seconds, given all the hype and all the interest and all the energy? What was it like in that building when he went down?
Well, I'll tell you this. I feel like a knee injury degenerate because I've blown my ACL and I watched all the Blazers go through their knee injuries. You know, Brandon Roy, Greg Oden, the list goes on. As soon as he went down, I was like, oh, it's a knee sprain. I spotted it from, you know, 75 feet away. I knew exactly what it was going to come out as. And, the atmosphere, definitely the wind got sucked out of the building, but they rallied pretty well. And even though they were down basically the whole game, the crowd stayed into it. And so I was impressed by their focus. Obviously, there was a lot of concern, you know, from the Duke bench, from the Duke fans, or how serious is this? What exactly happened with the shoe? And that kind of took on its own life. But I think in the building, they were still focused on that game pretty much. And they saw 30-plus from R.J. Barrett. You know, he tried to carry their offense, didn't really work that well. And I think there was some concern from them of, okay, what does it mean for their NCAA title hopes? I mean, it's the number one team in the country without the best player. It sounds like he dodged a bullet and could potentially get back on the court. And Coach K said afterwards that they're hoping to get him back, you know, within the relatively near future. But the timing for them is really tough with the ACC tournament right around the corner and obviously March Madness too.
We're talking to Ben Golliver. He is a national NBA writer for The Washington Post. Now, Ben, you were in Charlotte for the All-Star weekend. What were guys in the NBA saying about Zion?
You know that He Got Game montage where they have all the famous coaches and the players and they're all just saying, Jesus, 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 you know, from that Spike Lee movie?
Sure.
I mean, they could have filmed the sequel in Charlotte, Jim. I mean, I'm not even kidding. It was just Zion, Zion, Zion. I talked to Luka Doncic on Friday. He's going to be the Rookie of the Year. He's saying he can't wait to see Zion at the pros, and he thinks Zion's going to be next year's Rookie of the Year. Talked to the slam dunk contest on champion on Saturday night, Hamidou Diallo. The first thing he wants to say is, okay, well, let's see if Zion wants to be in next year in the slam dunk contest in 2020. And then you talk to these these superstar-level players, whether it's LeBron or Steph Curry, and all they want to talk about is Zion's intangibles, his work ethic, his humble personality, how focused he is on basketball, and how polished he is with the media. So he's getting, you know, big-time respect from those guys. And then all the conversations that are going on behind the scenes with executives. You know, one executive told me if Zion was in the NBA right now and on his team, he'd be worth 7 to 10 wins per season, like in a season this year. So, you know, that's possibly bumping a team up from the lottery into the playoff picture. That's the kind of impact they see from him. Another coach told me he'd rather have Zion on his team than Luka just because of Zion's defensive versatility, his ability to just kind of cover ground and really lock in on that end. And then also the fact that you can use him with the ball rather than or off the ball rather than just building your whole offense around him like we've seen Dallas do with Luka. So the praise was extraordinary. It was clear that they wish they could have got him in the NBA this season. And when you look at that injury, it kind of sets up that debate, right? It's like, should Zion ever have been in college? You know, by all accounts, he's having a great time at Duke. It seems like he's the big man on campus. He was loving life before the games and before the injury. But you could also just look at his talent, his body, his profile, and think, this guy looks like an NBA player, and that's certainly how the NBA views him.
Ben Golliver joining us right now. That praise is extraordinary. And for an NBA executive to say that he already would have been worth 7 or 8 or even 10 wins to us really says something about him. Now, one of the things, Ben, that's come up in the past, and certainly more so with the NFL, and it's just something you just touched on, if a player were to shut it down to protect himself, to get ready for that draft, some would see that as not wanting to compete. I mean, what do you make of that argument? And is there any reason to think that any NBA teams would view Zion that way if you were to make that decision?
I think the NBA has kind of become so cynical to it. They understand it. Like, we've got guys, Kawhi Leonard and Anthony Davis, you know, top 10 players shutting it down during the middle of seasons. You know, Kawhi last year, Anthony Davis, at stretches this year. So I think it's kind of become par for the course, unfortunately, in the NBA. Personally, I hate to see it. I love if guys are healthy, go out there and play. And I kind of feel like that's what Zion's about. I understand there's millions of dollars at stake, and you don't want him to get re-injured, and you want to, you know, take this thing very carefully. And I'm sure there's going to be people advising him to, you know, just protect his body and protect his draft stock. But I'd love to see him back on the court. And I also think, in general, this trend towards, like, you know, try almost like in-season holdouts, like what Anthony Davis was sort of doing, or Kawhi Leonard last year, you know, I think that's a bad look for the league as a whole. Adam Silver at All-Star Weekend really didn't seem to have too many answers here. I mean, his main statement was just, look, if you're going to request a trade, try to do it behind closed doors. Don't make a big fuss out of it. And I think, you know, basically the implication there is, you know, we expect you to be on the court. And I know he directed the Pelicans, in the case of Anthony Davis, to basically have to keep playing Anthony Davis, and we'll see how many minutes he gets and all of those things. But I think fundamentally, if the league is going to work right, if they want to continue to grow the revenue like the players want, and to have the opportunity to sign these huge max deals that these guys are, you know, capable of earning, guys have to be on the court. They have to be entertaining the fans. They have to be, you know, participating fully with their full heart in it. You know, not going out there like Anthony Davis did the other night and have 3 points and kind of going through the motions. You know, that's not going to sell tickets. That's not going to juice the TV ratings. That's not going to help the NBA keep growing as a league. And I think, you know, that mentality shift to me in the last couple of years has been a little bit damaging, you know, in terms of, hey, let's just, you know, take a week off, take a month off, you know, take half a season off if you need to improve your own individual standing. I don't think that's in the best interest of the NBA.
Ben Golliver joining us. He covers the NBA for the Washington Post. Ben, one more thought about Zion. Let me just go back to that so we can wrap that up too. What has to change in order for Zion or a player like him to be able to enter the NBA right out of high school?
Not much. I mean, they've been just dilly-dallying with it. Adam Silver said a couple of years ago, hey, this is the direction that we're going. Last summer, he said he was ready to make the move to lower the age limit from 19 to 18. I mean, that's really all it would take for Zion to be in the NBA right now. And now there's this formal proposal, apparently, that the NBA has presented the Players Association with to kind of, you know, make this rule, you know, the official stance kind of going forward. And I'm sure they'll phase that in a few years down the line. I just don't get why they drag their feet on it. I mean, it seemed to me like Silver has said he was studying the issue for a while and that he had reached his conclusion, you know, a year or two ago. I mean, just go ahead and do it. I think this is the direction that it's happening. There's going to be guys every single year. We see, you know, 1, 2, 3 guys who look like they're ready to make the leap. Obviously, the players have been, you know, kind of pushing for that because they feel like it's the most, you know, fair and just and equitable thing for, you know, a teenager, you know, maybe he's 18 years old, to be able to provide for his family and not have to risk injury at the NCAA level. So to me, it's coming. It's just a matter of the timing. And I really think the NBA probably deserves a little grief for the fact that it's taken this long to unfold.
Ben Golliver joining me for another few moments. All right, so before you go, let me get your thoughts on the Lakers. They came back from 19 down in the third quarter to win last night. Given that earlier in the night they were losing to Houston and Sacramento, who's in the ninth spot, was beating Golden State, how important, Ben, was that win for L.A.?
Oh, it's so important. I mean, I feel like every win and every loss for the Lakers right now, that's a big loss. That's a big win. I mean, that was a huge win for them. They're trying to sneak back into that top eight. The Sacramento Kings, you know, they don't want to go away. I mean, it's going to be a fierce race down the stretch. I love that LeBron James came out and said, look, I'm going to activate this playoff mode. I'm going to do it. That is exactly the message that he needed to deliver after the last months of ugliness. I mean, keep in mind, they were basically trying to trade the whole team to New Orleans. The fans in Indiana are heckling Brandon Ingram, basically saying, you're trade bait. LeBron doesn't want you. Lonzo's been injured. You know, Magic Johnson's going back and forth and all these, like, tampering allegations. You know, once again, the Pelicans fire Dell Demps, which kind of adds to the whole mystery of the story. Now you've got Anthony Davis, who's about to go on LeBron's TV show, The Shop, and obviously that's going to wind up being, you know, almost a distraction in and of itself. you know, at some point in all this drama, Jim, somebody has to step forward and lead that team, and there's only one person who can do it. It's LeBron. And I think he has a lot at stake. Like, if the Lakers don't make the playoffs, I don't think he's going to be viewed as the consensus best player in the league anymore. And I also think when you're looking at, you know, eight straight finals appearances in the Eastern Conference versus coming over to the West and immediately going to the lottery, I mean, that's a tough look, you know, for his legacy. And I know he's made statements like he has nothing left to prove, you know, that the finals and that championship in Cleveland kind of secured his legacy. And I think that's true. That doesn't mean he doesn't have anything at stake, because he's also trying to recruit all these free agents or set up these trades this summer, right? I mean, he's clearly got his eyes on Anthony Davis. There's going to be some other big-time free agents available this summer. Do you really want to go to the Lakers if you're a top-five guy, if they're not even in the playoff picture? Or do you start looking at some of these other scenarios and saying, hey, look, there's less dramatic organizations that are in better position to win right now. Why do I want to go deal with all that when I can, you know, look at some of these other teams? All these factors are at play for LeBron, and that's why I was so happy to hear him say that, you know, playoff mode is activated. It needs to be activated for the Lakers.
All right, so Ben, quickly, do you think it happens? As an example, Laker fans might say, yeah, well, leapfrogging the Kings and Clippers is no big deal, but given the schedule they have the rest of the way, how confident should Laker fans be?
I'd be nervous if I was a Lakers fan, right. But I think he's going to be able to get it done. I mean, I think in the back of his mind, if he looks at his team honestly, he doesn't need to be preparing his body for a deep run to the Western Conference Finals. You know, I mean, this team has just not gelled quite well enough. They haven't been consistent enough. They had some really nice flashes early in the season. But if I'm LeBron, I'm basically singularly focused on making the playoffs and really taking a hard swing at the team in the first round, whoever they would match up with. But, you know, if they get, you know, Oklahoma City or Golden State or one of those teams in the first round, I mean, I think that's going to be a pretty quick series, based on how the Lakers have performed this season. So he doesn't need to save himself, right? He can focus on, you know, treating the next 2 months like it's his playoffs.
He is a national NBA writer for the Washington Post. He is the co-host of the Open Floor podcast, and he is a jungle legend. Very good friend of the program, Ben Golliver, my guest. Great job, Ben. Thanks for doing that. Always good to talk to you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks, man.
You got it, Ben. Well done.